Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to the latest episode of Behind the Glass. This week, I'm joined in my kitchen by Tom, TGE.
Hello.
Do we call you TGE LDNM, TGE, TGE?
I was Chris and Thomas, so we can...
Chris and Thomas.
I go by Tom.
We'll stick with Thomas.
Sometimes a lot worse words than that, but no. Yeah, TGE will do.
Do you remember how we first met?
I remember being tailed by you at some point in an Audi TT with a camera sellotaped to your head.
There was a worse, more embarrassing moment for me.
Oh, right, okay.
You obviously don't remember this. Yeah, embarrassing for me. When I first started, I came to Sloane Street when you and Paul had parked up, and I got out with my camera on my head when I used to film everything point of view by strapping a camera to my head, and I walked over and I was like, all right, guys, how you doing? And I think you both looked at me like, who is this twat?
Yeah, we definitely mugged you off.
And then, definitely, the minute I left, you're like, that guy's a total dweeb. And now we're neighbours.
And you had a TTS.
I had a TTS. I had a black TTS. That was literally like one of my favorite. I had that, I think that's the longest I've ever owned a car. 2.5 years, I think.
Wow, that is a serious thing.
Yeah,
that's
that was like a commitment at that point, like for both of us.
For a YouTuber's car,
that was a long
eternity.
Time. And you were in a BMW M3, which you claimed to be a limited edition car.
Yeah, mate, it had black wheels. None of them had black wheels. No, it was an LE500, so that means there was...
What does that mean?
There's probably 500,000 of them, mate.
So you were already in the game of like, I'm buying collectible cars.
Ones that I thought were collectible anyway. I'm a sucker for a different badge.
You're a sucker. Right, so what I want to get into before we crack on with some behind the glass sort of topics is kind of you and your car history, because I did mention to people that you were coming on the show.
Yeah.
And you've made quite the noise recently on all of your social media platforms being quite the car collector.
I don't know if you can call it that. No. I've got ahead of myself massively.
You've got ahead of yourself. Let's wind it back.
Right, yeah, that's a sensible place
okay.
to start.
Car, do you genuinely like cars?
Not anymore. They've become a financial burden that I sweat over in
okay.
night. No, you did at some
point.
Yeah, I've always loved cars. Like, even as a kid, I had all the books, I knew all the stats. Like, I was an absolute nerd. I had no friends at school.
have no friends now.
Well, yeah, nothing's changed. If anything, I've got less somehow. No, I've always loved cars. Literally had all the books.
Okay, fine. So what was the first, I think I know this, but what was your first like car that you thought was, I've got something now, I've got a bit of a whip?
I put it on my Instagram the other day. You're probably going to boot me out now. It was a snot green Fiat Bravo that was like a 1.6.
I didn't know that. That's
bear with me, mate. It was a 1.6 16 valve, 115 brake horsepower. Like, I'm in triple figures now.
Whoa.
It's
was
getting
that your
pretty
first
serious.
Car, though, or the first car that you were like, now I'm legit?
No, it was the first car that I drove around in, and I was like, I am sick. I've nailed this. Out of
so
my way.
Good.
I bossed
That's
it.
So good.
Out of my way.
Mine was a BMW 330i Saloon, which actually...
That's quite a good
I think
car.
That's actually quite good.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
Like you... Yeah, I'm actually impressed.
I'm a dick.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Just kind of pooped on your parade. Okay, so after the Bravo?
I always get confused. It was the little hatchback one, Bravo. After that, I think it was Mini Cooper S. R53 supercharged.
Nice, okay, awesome.
And I redid the intercooler, I got new pulleys in the supercharger.
Straight to Halfords.
Induction kit.
Straight to Halfords.
Oh, I actually spent an inordinate amount of money on it. It was horrendous. I think I got up to like 215 brake.
Oh
the noise
God.
It made, though, I wish I had that car now. It was the best thing ever, honestly.
Had you already started London Muscle at that point?
I hadn't. Not at that point, no. I hadn't.
Did you buy a car with your first like success from London Muscle? Did you get a paycheck from London Muscle and go, right, I'm now buying a limited edition M3?
It started taking off, but the money wasn't amazing. But I still got a bit cocky. Okay. So
strange, that rings a bell to today's situation.
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of exponentially got worse.
It definitely has.
So my overspending has always got ahead of what I can actually spend.
Fine.
Yeah. So things started going well, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm balling now. I actually leased that M3, which in retrospect was probably the silliest idea ever.
Absolutely. Because you did modify it as well, didn't you?
£500-600 a month, which wasn't bad for that car on as it goes, but in terms of throwing money down the toilet, that's pretty high up there.
Yeah, listeners don't know, there is a significant difference between leasing and financing.
Yes.
Leasing, you're essentially borrowing a car.
You're renting it, basically.
You're renting it, whilst financing, you're borrowing the money to buy the car.
So it's like renting and mortgaging.
There you go, right.
So financing, you're paying off the debt with every monthly payment. Obviously, there's a little bit of this interest. And leasing, you're just throwing money in a hole. But you're not renting it as such, where you can say, I'll have it for a weekend and I give it back. You're saying, I'm going to rent this car for 2 years for £600 a month or whatever.
But you drove that M3 like you'd spent, like that was your pride and freaking joy.
I loved it, to be fair. It was the E93, so it was the convertible. It was in Santorini blue. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I fiddled with the exhaust as well.
You did, I remember that. Yeah, because it still sounded awful.
I'm a yob. Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't actually everywhere in second gear.
Yeah. Some things don't change.
Okay, so things change. I mean, since we met, since you don't remember meeting me, both of our lives have changed quite substantially in terms of cars.
Yeah.
So when was like the rap? Because I remember when you bought the G-Wagon.
I trolled you all.
What a disastrous situation.
That was horrible.
We went to that awful collection in the night, in the rain.
I'm still not
in
sorry.
The dark, even in the rain. Yeah, it was just a disaster. But I honestly felt like that car suited you.
Yeah,
I genuinely
good.
Felt like that car suited you. And that, I was like, okay, here he is. He's made a bit of money. He's bought himself a G-Wagon. Stereotypically falling into
he's
the
wearing
pit.
A tracksuit.
Yeah, he's wearing
I'm
a tracksuit.
Still wearing one.
Swearing at people.
Yes, indeed.
But then suddenly it went from G-Wagon to
all out kind of chaos.
Yeah, just mad, like literally.
So from the M3, I went to the G63, which we remember.
Yeah.
And then suddenly up cropped my daily, which I still have.
The Mini.
Yeah,
okay,
the John Cooper Works, which I leased that. Yeah. £190 a month. Sorry to talk about money, but I think it's quite important sometimes. Like, it puts things in context. And I do lease that, and that's a great car. I put loads of miles in it. Fantastic. Run around.
Perfect.
And also got a Hurricane as well.
Oh, yeah, you
so
did.
I got fully.
I actually
fully
forgot
ahead.
You had
I know,
Hurricane.
I know. And that was my first supercar.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, when I first got it, it wasn't a comfortable purchase at all. I was like, you know, this is a stretch. I'm being a silly boy. But, you know, if I stress myself out and stretch myself, it will mean that I somehow find the means to pay for it.
No, but also it's almost like a good motivator.
It's a survival instinct.
Yeah.
Water was up to here. And
I genuinely
like,
can't afford this.
Yeah.
So I just got to work my ass.
But the Graham loves it. So
yeah, okay.
Oh, Christ. But no, that was the first.
You had that. And that was a rear-wheel drive Hurricane, wasn't
it? 580-2. I was a pioneer and I was convincing everyone this was the rarest car in the world. And there's only like three of them ever made. Yeah. He fell for it and went for one a year later.
Whoa,
but, a great car though. Absolutely missed that car. Yeah, I was sad to see that go, sort of.
But that was also your first taste of being offered. Did you get offered more money than you paid for it? Well, I can't remember what happened in the end. But
No, I mean, I thought I was going to be able to kind of sell it for four times the price. Yeah, it was the rarest car.
So rare.
No, I got that as an ex-demo at a really nice price from Lamborghini Pangborn. And there was no more allocation to the UK of rear-wheel drive cars for the next sort of 6 months or so.
Sure.
So I was like, money's safe in this. Which is important
when you're
buying a supercar that you can't afford in the first place. It's important to know what the value is going to do.
You can get out of it.
Cross your fingers and hope for the best. So, yeah, I mean, I managed to get out of that and it kind of cost me not a huge amount. I didn't make money on that. I didn't break even. I dropped a tiny, tiny bit.
Fine. Okay, because what I was trying to get onto then, I didn't realise that, but what I was trying to get onto is that now it seems to be that you're getting access to cars which either will hold their value, do hold their value, or could even get premiums.
Yeah.
But was that, did you realise that, or did you fall into that by mistake?
I realised that you could buy supercars that you loved and not have to lose the shirt over your head. And I also realised that if I didn't take the attitude that, you know, I don't care how much the car loses, I would genuinely put myself in an even worse financial state. I.e., to be able to realistically and kind of justify buying these things, I have to be as sensible as possible about what to buy. So
No.
I realised that the supermarket car market, you know what it's like, it's so buoyant at the moment. I mean, I don't know what's coming up, but it's so buoyant at the moment. You can do these things.
It's an unbelievable thing.
Make hay while the sun shines is what I say. Get in and out of cars for free, yeah, if you can.
For car lovers, it's like the dream. Because
yeah, it really is.
People are out there. If you've got the money, you can afford to get in and out of these cars, drive them, have a huge amount of fun with them, and then sell them and potentially make money, or at least not lose money. And that's an amazing situation to be in this day and age.
Hurricane had that 4 or 5 months, 2,000 miles put on it. Lost a few grand, and I mean only a few, 2-3 grand, yeah, something like that. That's a lot of money, I know. But in terms of supercar ownership, and what if you speak
as
to
a
someone
percentage
that bought
of the value, yeah, for sure,
bought sort of a 610-4 brand new,
fully expect Rolls Royce Wraith. Goodbye,
yeah,
goodbye, 100,000 pounds,
2-3 grand. It's like, yeah. Some people are having a six-figure poo on some of these cars. So, that's 2-3 grand, and then I bought an F12, and I kind of just hedged my bets that, you know, a V12 Ferrari, that's going to be pretty
crossed,
safe as houses. Got a really good price from Redline, and I managed to get rid of that 6 months later, 5k more than I paid for it, which covers the interest on the finance. It covers the little things like storage,
so
or whatever.
So you're essentially
you need,
almost break even at that point. You're not actually necessarily.
No, these things aren't to make money. They've never been a profit generating experience. I mean, I did have a GT4 at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Why have I brought that up?
What happened to your GT4, Tom?
Am I going
to
finally.
What happened to
am
you?
Am I going to finally.
That was. I used to
come
always
to terms
see
with
you driving that around. Oh, many road trips in the
GT4. I know. I absolutely nailed that. I mean, I was everywhere in that car. I mean, I had months.
I miss it. I miss seeing you driving that.
Anyway. Long story short, so I ordered a Boxster Spider from Porsche, and I spec'd it and everything, and I was excited, and I would still have
excited.
That car now.
We were all excited.
Okay?
What a car.
Because there's always space for a manual flat six. Like, is it a flat six? Oh my God, am I just screwed up?
I feel like I was in the wrong person.
Anyway, yeah, it may well
moving
be.
On.
I think it is. So there's always space for a manual, blah, blah, blah. Love the Boxster Spider, still love it, but they're doing mental money and I can't be bothered with that at the moment. But Porsche said, rang me up like a couple of months before delivery, and they said, we've got some good news and some bad news. Bad news is you're not getting a Boxster Spider. So I was like, well, what's this good news? Like, realistically.
You got nothing.
And they said, but the good
me.
News is we've got you a GT4 slot, should you want it. And at this point, the first deliveries have started happening, and rightly or wrongly, I was like, okay, great, I'll have it. I didn't want a GT4. It's an amazing car. It's just not for me. But I said, I'll have it anyway. And this is where people will probably hate me. But I was like, I'll have it. And maybe I'll get to grips with it. Maybe I'll love it. I do want to try it. I do want to drive it.
That you owned it.
I do want to drive it around. I did give it a fair run. I was like, I want to get to grips with this car. Because at that point, I could afford it. It was okay. It wasn't comfortable. But I could afford to have that alongside, I think it was the Hurricane.
Yeah,
it was alongside the Hurricane at that point. So there were two different cars.
Very different
great.
Cars.
But then it kind of, I got it, and I've got really bad sciatica, and it's a manual. It's got a long, heavy clutch.
All of the excuses come.
Yeah. Are you buying this or not? I don't know.
No, I don't think anyone is.
No, I mean some of it. But anyway, they were doing like
you can't see
25-30 grand premium, and I was like, realistically, I've not come from a lot of cash, and if someone wants to give me that.
It wasn't a car that you were in love with. It's not the car that you went out to buy.
I didn't order
it. You ended up with it. And then somebody came along and offered you a lot of money. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, that someone basically... I mean, when Porsche said, do you want it? They were basically saying, you either can have just a car that you love and drive around in, but worst case, you can have sort of 20 grand on a plate. Yeah. And to be honest, I had been inconvenienced. I'd given them a deposit and stuff. So I don't know. Immoral or not, that's what happened to it. So there you go, a little exclusive. I've been asked that question a billion and one times. But yeah, cut long story short. I sold it. Or it went
right
in the sea.
Before we get too caught up, because now we're going to start powering through.
Yes.
Let's see if we can recall all of the other. So from let's go from Huracan, GT4 and G63 today. To right up to today. Just reel them off. I don't need the stories, just the cars.
Okay.
It's going to take some time.
So there was John Cooper Works, obviously. Land Rover Defender. XS90. Still have that one.
It's still around the corner.
Yeah, it's still... Well, I hope so. Yeah. It's probably been nicked. GT3 RS.
Oh, yeah.
991.
I never saw you in that.
Did you actually?
Never saw you in that.
No way.
Never.
I put some
once.
Serious miles on it. I loved
did
that
you?
Car.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. I was everywhere in it. Genuinely, I was everywhere in that car. I loved it. F12.
Yeah, okay, amazing.
Did you hear it with the exhaust?
We
as well?
Saw it, we started it, we didn't go anywhere in it.
Sounds good. Sounds whole like, ownership
sounds
experience.
Sounds like you, yeah.
And then obviously to the present day.
No, you're forgetting something.
Am I?
No, maybe you're not. Keep going. I don't know if you said that.
I've ordered a billion cars.
No, but keep going.
In terms of ones that I've actually driven and that I've owned. So it's gone, it went Hurricane, F12, GT3 RS, and now 720S as of Friday.
Yeah, you have forgotten one.
M4 DTM. I was in it earlier.
Launched as, I bought the rarest car, what was it, of 2017? Or couldn't even remember it. Couldn't even remember it. Mate, this is what I mean. It's gone to your head. You've lost the plot.
Honestly, you've lost the plot. Geneva was the tipping point.
You've gone crazy.
I'm not well.
Where does it stop?
It stopped.
It stopped?
Yeah,
You're done?
The music. I think we'll probably hit a recession at some point next year. I'm going to be left with £4 million
of recession.
No. I'm saying that we probably are. I'm going to be left with a load of cars on leveraged up to the eyeballs. And I think that's where it ends. I'm going to have to fake my own death and start again. No. Okay. So I ordered at Geneva, Hurricane Performante, Aventador S, and obviously 720, and also 812.
Right.
Or and around Geneva. That kind of.
Hurricane Performante still coming?
Yes. December to January time.
Aventador S still coming?
Yeah, in about 9 weeks.
720S you just picked up.
Yep.
Thoughts?
Bloody amazing, honestly. Okay.
We're going to come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
812 still coming?
Yes. Okay. And that's where my orders actually
stop. So that's
stop.
Where you're royally screwed. So when in 2019 you've got Hurricane Performante, Aventador S...
No, they're all going to go to replace each other. I'm looking to do 3 to 6 month like enjoyment spells with all of these cars, and then I'm going to end up with the 812. That's where I stop the orders.
Choice. Oh, that's a good choice.
And my thought process is going to be, if that car's anything other than amazing,
it's unbelievable.
I'll look back on the cars I've owned over the past 2 years, and I will buy back the one that I've enjoyed the most.
That could be expensive.
Or not the actual car, but most of them won't have gone up hugely. Most of them will have actually taken a bit of a poo. So I'll have a nice kind of thing to look back on.
I genuinely think when you get in that 812, considering how much I know you love the F12,
yeah,
I don't think you're going to want anything else.
I'm going to go to town on the spec as well. There's going to be triple air paint the whole
lot. You know how many people I've emailed that work for Ferrari saying, how can I get an 812 for £20,000? Because not only can you not get them, but I can't freaking afford one. So I hate you for being able to actually order one.
The spec's coming out cheaper than the Aventador S.
But, well, that's the thing. I did get sent the spec sheet and I misread it. So when I got it, it said price $209,000.
Yeah, you need to look at the little VAT bit, mate. Yeah. That's what gets me sometimes as well.
I was so excited. Yeah. I freaking text Tony at Gravelwood. I was like, Tony, we're going to get me that 12. I'm going to save up. I'm going to work my ass off. Plus VAT, 250 plus options. What, 280, 275?
Being sensible with options that mean you will, you'll be able to sell the car at some point. 285.
Yeah, for me, it's a wild dream. But I'm very jealous. I'm very impressed. I think you will get that car and fall in love with it.
I mean, Ferrari V12s. That's it. Say no more.
Well, let's come back to what you're in right now, the 720S, because that is, I guess, a little bit close in terms of power. So you picked it up last Friday?
Picked it up on Friday. I didn't like to cause a fuss. I mean,
No. It's a very low-key collection.
Low-key affair. I didn't really tell anyone about it. There's only sort of 50-odd people there.
Head over to Tom's YouTube channel, TGTV.
Correct.
TGTV, and you can see one of the most ridiculous cars. I mean, McLaren Ascot must hate you.
I do you know what I said? I'm really sorry, but they're like, no, we love it. There's loads of people here. Wow. You're causing a buzz.
For them.
I mean, at the end of the day,
I turned up very quietly on a Friday afternoon in the rain with a hoodie and a baseball cap on. I was like, no one can see me here.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I clicked the 540C. I literally
should have caused the fuss, mate.
No, because it was secret. I was launching it a week later.
Oh God, yeah.
So I was trying to keep it all secret. So I literally, somebody turned up and they said, "Oh, Sam, nice to meet you." I was like, "Don't tell anyone I'm here."
Killed them.
You've
away.
Seen nothing. Yeah, ran them over on departure. Whilst you did the actual opposite, and it literally looked like a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh, it's crazy. But it's crazy. Do you know what? It's really, really nice. It's kind of just sharing the kind of, well, I say sharing the moment. That's quite emotional.
For sure.
But
for sure.
Like, it's a big moment for me, and like, I don't know if people want to see that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And they want to kind of get in the pot with it, then great. I mean, if I'd lived local and someone was picking up a car and I was kind of maybe a bit younger or not doing anything that day, I would have gone down.
Yeah, school look. Holidays.
Great. No, it's not often you see someone picking up a car that's wearing a tracksuit.
I'm <Looks like that. laughs> like really that. Not caring.
No,
can
no,
I
no.
just say, it was the like biggest, what's it called? Bubble burst. Like when you lifted off the cover and you were like, yeah.
I do it with all of them though, because the cover comes off and then you're like, well,
what am I supposed to do?
I have actually seen it before.
Yeah, I do know what it looks like.
And there was literally like 40 people in like crammed
it's
into
so
the
awkward,
dealership.
Because you're just like, no one claps,
like, now what? And I was like, do people clap? And then people, they started clapping.
They?
I was like, that's worse, stop clapping. It was so awkward. But no, it was cool. It was cool. And the people were just being genuinely interested and supportive and nice and just pleased for me, which I think is kind of it's a cool thing.
And you've
cool
driven thing. The car?
Twice. The day I picked it up, I had to go straight for dinner.
Okay.
So I jumped on the tube immediately. And then I got back late and drunk. So
have they given you, what's your break-in period or anything?
They said the engines are pre-running. Sure. They always say that. And I don't think there's probably any replacement for variable kind of load driving in terms of running the car in. So I'm not going to smash the granny out of it.
No.
And to be honest with you, you can't smash the granny out of that car.
That car.
Like, it's hypercar pace.
It's ridiculous. And I think
it's silly.
I think the side of it which I probably misunderstood during the press launch was the usability side of it. The in-town,
crazy.
The cruising. Because that hyper-comfort, that visibility, the smoothness, everything around you, I felt was a letdown. Because in my mind, I'd built up that car so much to be this crazy, raucous, mental hypercar.
Yeah.
And my first experience was driving through Rome, and it was so sedate and pleasant. And I was like, this is awful.
Yeah.
But by the time I then turned it into sport track, I was like, this car doesn't know what it is. It's a mess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Reflecting on it now.
I remember watching those videos like, yeah. I was fuming. I was like, why don't you love it? I hate
I
you.
I think you trolled me.
Yeah, but I would have done.
It was, you know, I still think, personally, I would have preferred for them to just concentrate on the speed. But it's not McLaren's. It's not what McLaren do. They are amazing at being able to create these cars that cover so many spectrums. And for you, you're going to drive that car most in London. We live in central London.
I must admit, one of the things I said about the F12 that I love the most was the fact that it does have a breadth of ability.
Yeah.
It's completely bonkers, but you can also just put bumpy road setting on and waft about listening to a nice hi-fi and the world is good. But that 720S, I've never seen breadth of ability like it. With the nose lift up in comfort mode, speed bumps, brilliant. Like wow. You kind of know they're there and you can kind of feel them, but it's incredible. I don't know how they've done it. Visibility, the 12 speaker system, Bowers and Wilkins. It's incredible in there.
I think I'll have
off.
To come and experience.
Yeah,
do have a
spin when I've saved up enough to put petrol back in the tank.
Okay, so I feel like we have now come from the origins of TGE to the present day.
Yes.
So those of you that are still watching, thank you for your patience. We are live streaming for anyone listening. Listening audio only. We've been live streaming on Facebook this whole time. We are going to be addressing some of the questions very shortly on Facebook and some that were submitted for you on Twitter.
Oh, God.
But firstly, I want some help.
Oh, no. Going to the wrong place.
Oh, good Lord.
You've just heard how stupid I've been. Yeah,
well, that's why I need your help to make me stupid, because what we've just been discussing, supercars that are usable, is kind of been my argument over the last couple of weeks publicly, that I want to sort of retract my current car situation to an F-Type SVR, something I can use day in, day out, put tons of miles on, and have a car that I can, because I miss having a car I can use a lot.
Yeah,
that's where I bond with cars, is car, and that's why I love my little Abarth, which is still sat outside.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
Fully get that.
I use it all the time. Whilst the McLaren, I never got a chance to use it that much because I live in central London and it was a bore.
Yeah,
to use in central London. So I was like, hey, F-Type SVR. About 2 days after I made that decision, I had a dream.
Oh no.
And in that
dream, you can repeat. Not one of those ones.
No, a bit awkward. In that dream, apart from some boobies, there was a manual Ferrari 360.
Oh no.
And it was the greatest experience of my life, owning a manual Ferrari 360 in my dream. And I woke up and I went, I want one. Like I, and I've been researching it and I've been looking into it ever since.
Right.
And one just popped up today. Dark green, tan leather interior. It's on my Twitter. You guys listening, head over to twitter.com.
I've just seen it on your Instagram as well, actually.
And on Instagram.
You've got a bit mad with it.
Oh my God. Because I think, like, and the idea now for me of a manual fryer that goes against everything that I've been talking about.
Yep.
Because I can't use it on a daily basis.
Nope.
It will break.
Yep.
It's about the same price as an F-Type SVR. So I am saving some money, but that money's then going to be blown on repair bills.
Yep.
But it's a Ferrari.
And that is exactly why you should get it.
Because the thing is...
It should be an event every time you drive it. You shouldn't get in it and be like, oh yeah, I'm off to the shops to get some milk. Mm. It should be an event.
And the thing is with that is it's really, for me, the only affordable Ferrari left that I actually like. It's not Ferrari. It's not a popular Ferrari, the 360.
Yeah, you've got to look at it though. It's kind of V8 manual Ferrari, exactly. Pininfarina. What's,
and it's the one...
It's Pininfarina, right?
Yeah, it's Pininfarina.
Wow.
It's, for me, that was my poster car. I know the Challenger Dali, but the 360 and the Challenger Dali look nearly identical.
Like, yeah.
I see so many people come up to me. Yeah. Honestly, so many people come up to me, look, it's a Stradale. I'm like, guys, it's a 360.
Yeah.
No, your car. Because they're nearly identical.
Yeah.
And so from that point of view, I do still love it. It holds a special place for me. And they're like 80 grand for like a manual 360. Everything else, 430 manual, 120.
Yeah.
Scud, 150, 160.
Yeah.
Stradale, 200. 458, everything's
gone. 360 manuals are more than that. So no, that doesn't strike me as too bad. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a bargain because 80 grand's 80 grand. I think you'd be very excited about
it. I need to research it more. I need to understand more.
No, how you much... don't.
No,
you...
I do. No. Because it's
the search is over.
No, because I still love the idea of the F-Type SVR and having a car that I could just use for everything. But I also like the idea of also being able to keep in the bath. I don't know if I'd keep my bath.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't know if I'd get in a bath with air conditioning because I would need a daily. I couldn't have the 360 in daily.
You could follow the TGE model, which is a lease.
Oh,
daily.
Lease.
I've just got something on a lease and it's in the factory now being built. I'm not going to reveal it just yet, but it's costing me £136 a month. And it's...
What's the RRP, our retail price?
30 something?
No.
And it's good. It's good.
Oh, I'm going
to lease
it.
It's not like blow your balls off exciting.
Because I spec'd a brand new Competizione 595 the other day, 25 grand.
Really?
So that's lease. That's like 20 quid a month for a lease.
Yeah, although, yeah, you could probably just finance it, actually, and it'd probably cost you less. I'm giving you really poor advice here, mate. What did you expect? Anything else? But yeah,
else.
In terms of something you can just smash miles on and then just hand it back at the end, you don't need to care about residuals or anything. Because there's always, when you do finance a car...
But little cars like that as well, they don't...
You can put 10k on them and no one cares. Mm. But yeah, sometimes crazy offers pop up on lease cars. Golf R's been on good...
Yeah, offers. It's not special enough for me personally.
Oh, well, you're going to hate what I got then.
I know what you've got now. I just worked that out. How embarrassing. Nice. Okay, so a couple of bits of very quick admin before we get into... That's your phone.
Yeah.
Before we get into some questions for Tom. Ladies and gentlemen, I am headed to America a week today. I'll be headed to LA for 3 days and then head up to Monterey Car Week. Very exciting stuff happening. Some Ferraris are involved. Some other YouTubers are involved. Alejandro Salamandrin, we are working hard to get something in the books. Do not worry, very excited that's all happening. So a week today, I'll be in America. Boom, that's all I wanted to say. Oh, and Vlogari is coming along very well. Again, if you're Italian and you're listening and you've got a cool car, please message me because I'm not sure what I'm going to film for 3 weeks. anyway, right, okay, let's get into some questions. First off, from Facebook, I guess.
Let's get that down here.
Hi, guys. I've now just brought my computer down close to me so I can read some questions. So, we forgot one of your cars.
Oh, no. That's all very embarrassing being reminded. No.
BMW M2.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that was mine. Yeah. Oh, God.
Tom, everything's coming undone now, isn't it?
God.
What happened to the M2?
My web of deceit is falling apart. yeah, the M2. That was great. Manual, got bored of it. Used it to get a DTM. DTM turned up. I already had a track car. I got some silly offers on it, and now it's in the bin.
Everyone is asking me about your beard. Like, the amount of questions.
I know.
It's so ridiculous, because when I met you, you didn't have that kind of beard. You've had a beard for a while, right?
Yeah.
But when did you grow, like, the TGE beard?
Oh, it's been around for about 18 months, actually. It's
just
varying stages of unpleasantness, really. It's
people
a bit
are obsessed
today.
With it, though.
I know, it's horrible. And it's kind of, it's at the stage now, I don't know what I'd do if I cut it off. I don't know whether I'd still like myself anymore.
If you've never seen TG before, Tom, he has, it's like a Viking-ish yeah. kind of beard. People can't see you, by the way. You're acting up to the Facebook live stream.
Yeah, yeah, Facebook live stream.
But for my audio-only audience, it's hard to explain. It's a bit Game of Thrones, the wildlings, the chief wildling. I can't remember his name. It's a bit like that. It's a punchy look.
But, it's punchy. It's a good kind of inch or two in length.
Yeah.
It's
okay, right. Next question from Facebook. Tom, what's the thinking? Oh, no, we've just done that. So what's the thinking behind leasing rather than financing? Tune back into the podcast. You missed that. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Here we go. AJ, did either of you feel awkward getting in front of camera when you started? And if so, how do you work through it to be the stars? Oh, that's very kind of you that you are. Also, will Tom be taking his pants off? AJ, probably not, I would hope.
Let's deal with the first one first.
Yes.
And then,
so you
depends whether he plies me with any more drinks.
Please, enjoy some water. Let's kick things off, because you haven't been YouTubing for all that long.
No, I'm very new to it. I'm not really a YouTuber, to be honest.
No, you are, though. You're a legit 100% YouTuber these days. And I do remember some of your... I actually remember your first vlog, iPhone Special.
They're still iPhone specials. They're still iPhone specials. You just put a drone shot at the start and the end.
It makes it
and people think, you know...
JWW produced this.
Yeah. No, some of it's still iPhone. Christ.
Were you comfortable from day... I remember you.
I still feel like a bell end. Yeah. I don't care now, because the channel's at now just about a size I can justify what I'm up to.
Sure. If someone says, what
in
the hell
in the early days, though, when you don't know whether or not you're going to get any views, whether people are going to care...
It's
feel like a helmet. Yeah.
And the worst part is watching it back, I find. Worst part. Like, I could just about get away with recording, like, saying something, because I would just pretend I was just talking to myself out loud, weirdly. But when I watched it back, I was like, oh, I look like a thumb. I had, like, a really weird, lanky thumb. I'm not talking right. I hate my voice. It was all a disaster. So, yeah, you don't get over it. It's hard. But just power on,
right? Just believe in what you're doing, and go off what people are saying, you know? If people are watching it and enjoying it, and you're kind of bringing something to other people's world, then great. Continue with it.
Lee Banton. Tom, do you regret buying a certain car?
I regret leasing my M3 LE500. I loved it.
Stop getting LE500 like it matters.
It's a limited edition,
it's a
mate.
Blue M3.
I've been through this. Santorini blue.
Sure.
One of two in the world. I do regret that, because at the same time I was looking to finance an SLS that was about 95k.
That would have been a win.
Yeah, I'm still up every night over it. Instead, I threw, you know, 15k down the toilet over
what
2 years.
Dream.
And I could have made probably 50 on the SLS. So that is one thing. Car wise, that is a big regret.
Putting the live stream.
Not adding any value, getting my face on there, but I air anyway.
I had the live stream on my face the whole time Tom was talking there. What watch are you wearing today? Actually, I literally just noticed it myself.
Panerai 26K. So it's kind of the,
really
the Destro
nice.
One. I'm showing it to the people on the live stream.
Really nice.
Looking, but it's blacked out vibe. It's actually telling the right time today as well, which is quite exciting.
So that's a passion that you're trying to make more of on your YouTube channel, but both
yes.
of us share is the watch passion.
Yes.
You have far more than I do, as you do with cars.
I tend to rotate them. I think people think I have more than I do.
Okay.
Like with cars, if you kind of glance at what I'm up to every now and again, you probably think I've got hundreds of them, but there's only kind of a few.
Okay.
Same with the watches.
Position them well.
I actually co-founded a watch company, plug, called Watches LDN in Notting Hill.
I'd love to say the link is below, but I don't know how to do that on
the site. No, there's nothing on the website anyway. You can't be asked to update it. No, you can. It's a good site.
don't set your own business.
So I set that up with a friend a few years ago, kind of to indulge our passion. But yeah, Carlos Social watches, great.
Both big into watches. The Panerai is very nice. You're a big AP man though, right?
I like my APs. I've got one. I've got two at the moment. But I tend to keep them most of them in a vault. And then I only have one or two out at a time that I actually kind of have in rotation. So yeah, just keep them in the bank.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, one last question from the live stream. This is a good question. Insurance.
Hmm.
Where do you talk about your age publicly? Does that happen?
I don't like to, but I'm older than people think.
Okay. Don't have to put a figure on it.
No.
You could say a decade. 20s, 30s, 40s.
Hmm.
He's not going to say it. Okay, we'll leave it at that. I turned 28 yesterday.
Okay, well, you're oldest. No. Insurance hasn't been too bad. So one thing you got, I did the Hurricane through Admiral and kind of Elephant and that kind of group. One thing you've got to be aware of, they will insure you, and then premiums weren't that bad. I think it was about 1,700, 1,800 quid.
Yeah.
But if you do stack it, A, they won't necessarily... This is quite sensible, actually. They won't necessarily put your car through an approved workshop, an approved Lamborghini or approved Porsche. We're talking about supercars here. So that's important to you, and you want to kind of keep your warranty intact and you want approved work. That is an issue with a lot of the kind of the mainstream insurers. And also the other thing is agreed value as well. So most supercar policies, especially if your car's going to be holding its value or going up in value, you want to get a policy that has an agreed value on it. So if you total it into a tree, you don't want to be told, market value of your car's 50 grand less or whatever we feel like giving you. You want to be saying, well, we actually agreed on this sum. I'm getting every penny back. So while you might be saving 500 quid a year, oh, and also excess as well, you can be absolutely screwed on. So there are things to look at. It's not just the policy price. There we go. That's
But no. Honestly, I'm going to jump on this because, you know, if we can give any consumer advice, which we do very rarely. you really, really were useless at this, but insurance, I always forget about insurance. When I'm buying a car, I'm like, oh, I can afford that. And then it's like, okay, there's 2 grand for insurance. I'm like, I forgot about that.
Rang on Paul's live stream. He's like, right, you're going to get the covers off and we're going to get the car. And I was like, I've forgotten to speak to anyone in the insurance. So I just rang them and I was like, can I change to a 720S? And they were like, well, you can't just ring us at the dealership and try and sort it out. We need to speak to a broker, an underwriter, and we'll back to you in like a couple of hours. I was like, well, no, guys, come on.
I need it now.
Hurry.
But honestly, my point being that it's the most important part of owning a car.
Yep.
But also, it's the one part where you should spend the most you can spend. Because, touch wood, nothing will ever happen to you that you'll need to call your insurance. Mm. But whether it's simply a chipped windscreen, whether it's some douchebags breaking into your car and stealing your laptop, a bathroom, whether it's writing off your car or somebody twatting into your car, if your insurance are douchebags or you've paid the cheapest rate you could find, you will not be helped.
They will literally take
as long as possible to help you. They'll send you to the worst places. You'll be without a car. You'll be in massive debt. And it's a horrendous situation. And I've witnessed it and I've experienced it as well. So if you can put those extra pennies towards insurance, do it. Because it is so worth it for the day it goes wrong. And you may feel like a waste because you may never call the insurance company. And neither of us are sponsored by insurance companies, even though we wish we were.
I was going to mention a brand.
Don't. They have to pay for that expense.
I was going to say.
Learn the business model, TG. Anyway, that's our sort of consumer advice for today's podcast. I think we're going to call it a wrap, though. I like to keep it to around 30 minutes. I think we're at about 40 minutes, which is... We've done well, yeah. We really chatted away. Thank you so much for coming on and joining. I'm sorry I put you under pressure so much.
No, it's been a pleasure. No, you haven't.
Good, okay, fine.
I don't feel grilled at all. This is good. Yeah.
Awesome, got some top of your chest, finally.
Exposed myself.
Sure.
Not literally.
Anyway, I hope you guys listening have enjoyed this latest episode of Behind the Glass. I'm really enjoying doing these. The next episode will be out hopefully next week. And then I am planning to record some episodes whilst I'm in America during Car Week. And of course, during Vlogari with hopefully some Italian guests, I would imagine, because I'll be in Italy. Who knows? If you're watching on the live stream, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully to do more of these live streams as time goes on. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.